Our New Testament reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew and chapter 24. But about that day and hour no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away. So too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field. One will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together. One will be taken and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this, if the owner of the house has known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Susie. Well, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We pray, help us to hear what you have for each one of us this morning in it. Amen. Now, I'd love you to get to your keyboard, bring up your comments box, and I'd love you to put, just type the number one into the comments if you have started your Christmas shopping. That's it. Go for it. Type it in. Have you started your Christmas shopping? Now, if you haven't started your Christmas shopping, then I want you to type the number two into our comments this morning. And we're going to get a little bit of a feel for where we're all at this morning. Let's see. Arabella Marie started. This is good. The clouds are started. Anne started. Jilly, Mark, Sue. This is so good. So far, so good. Claire says no, not started yet. Dave hasn't started, but Charlie has. Ben has. This is great. Look at Neil and Jazz. They've started their Christmas shopping. We've started some of our Christmas preparation. And it's funny because, you know, we need to start getting ready, don't we, when there's a big celebration coming up. And Advent, although we think of it as all about getting ready for Christmas, it is a season of Christian preparation. I'm seeing lots of folks who haven't quite got to their Christmas presents yet. But Advent, it's just like Lent. It's a season that prepares us for two things. Firstly, of course, Advent prepares us to get ready for the celebration of Jesus' birth at Christmas. If we do some spade work to dig into the season of Advent, I believe that Christmas tastes all that bit sweeter when we get there. But secondly, Advent is a season that prepares us for the return of Jesus. And it's the second of these things that our readings focus on today. That at the end of this phase of history, Jesus will return. And he'll return to fully establish his kingdom. Heaven and earth will meet. Heaven is going to move down to earth and the planet and the whole of humanity will be renewed and a new era ushered in. Now, it's a new era that might look quite a bit like this one, but it's going to be minus all of the bad stuff. Think of it as a clean reboot, if you like. And there's a couple of really notable features about the return of Jesus. And I'm just going to pull them out from our scriptures this morning. And the first, actually, is to say that actually the return of Jesus is actually slated as the next big spiritual occurrence to take place in the grand sway of scripture. If you've been reading a Bible, the story that makes sense of life, Andrew Ollerton, the author, divides the Bible up into six acts, six phases, if you like, of scripture. And we're living in phase number five, the Holy Spirit. And the sixth act of scripture, hope, is about the return of Jesus. And as he says in the book, it's the next big thing that will happen. Now, before we start getting worried too much about when that might be, it's important to note from our scriptures that no one knows when it will take place. Not even Jesus, as it turns out. Only God the Father knows. And the timing on these things is, of course, mixed, because Jesus' first disciples clearly thought that he was talking about something that was perhaps a bit more imminent, something that was going to happen within their lifetimes. So perhaps when we're thinking about these kind of important things, it's good to hold on to the idea that God's timing is on a different scale to ours, that God lives and exists outside of linear time. Therefore, we can't expect him to act purely within the confines of it. Equally, we read that not only does nobody know when it's due to happen, but it will come, just like in Noah's day and the flood, it'll come as a surprise. Life is going to be going on as normal right up until the moment Jesus returns. And when he does come back, he comes to pass a final judgment on earth in its current state in order to bring in something new, something better into existence. And we get a taste of what that judgment might look like because Jesus uses this image of two people working in the field together and two people grinding meal. And he says one gets taken, one gets left. And he kind of means that on a sort of metaphorical level of sorts, because what he means is that in the final judgment, everything that is wrong with our world is going to be put right. Imagine a world that has no sickness, no anxiety, no stress, no evil, no sin. Death itself will be removed. And he uses this image not to scare us, but in a strange sort of way to motivate us. Because actually, and weirdly, he's not motivating us to try and win his favour or to earn our place on the right side of history. I mean, you know, don't forget, there is absolutely nothing any of us can do to make God love you more than he already does. But he uses this to motivate his disciples and us to live more, trusting that the judgment we've already seen at that's the judgment we've already seen at the cross, because it's the cross that is the basis for our hope for the future. It's because Jesus died and rose again that we can hope that he will return and put all things right. And all judgment when he does return will be cruciform. It's going to be cross-shaped. It will look much like Jesus' death and resurrection. Because at the cross, Jesus takes our place instead of us for all the wrong in our lives and indeed all the wrong in the world. And he declares us free as a result. So our job is not to try and earn that reward in the future, but to accept that actually some of it is already on offer now from Jesus. Jesus tells us to be ready for his return. But what he's saying is more to do with what we do now, rather than getting ready for a future event that may or may not happen within our lifetime. Because the two things, being ready for that event and how we live now, are inextricably linked. Because we get ready for Jesus by how we live now. So in the same way that if perhaps you're one of the people who put number two in our comments this morning, perhaps if you've only made a Christmas shopping list in your head, the truth is you aren't really prepared for Christmas. You're just thinking about it. You actually have to go out and do the things on the list in order to prepare. And similarly, being ready for Jesus' return isn't about thinking about it as a theological proposition. It's about living now by his example, because he's granted us by the cross and the Holy Spirit the means to do so. Because if we live lives transformed by Jesus now, lives with Jesus right in the centre of them, then we will see a foretaste of how life is going to be when he returns. Think about it. Living with Jesus now is like watching a trailer for a blockbuster movie, except that movie isn't a film. It's the kingdom of God. It'll be a new reality. And it is important that it's not something to get worried about, and it's not something to overthink about, but it's simply a to-do list that we are to crack on with and be blessed by it as we do it. And there are lots and lots of ways, of course, that we can do this. And I'm going to offer you just one example this morning. You can think of dozens and dozens of your own. One example and a resource to help you to do it. As I said earlier, Advent is a little bit of a season like Lent, It's known as a lesser, but it is still a penitential season, a time when we work on our relationship with Jesus. And of course, there's no better way to live like Jesus than by getting to know him better, because that process of getting to know him we're changed by the very nature of it. You can't be in a relationship with Jesus and have met him and not be altered as a result. It's just how he operates. It could be as simple as well as getting to know him as daily prayer, daily Bible reading, and how we love and serve others. Now, I know that from our survey last summer that a great many people in our church have got a really good handle on prayer. And so this Advent, we wanted to put our focus on supporting you in regular reading of the Bible. We know this is something that people don't find the easiest thing to do. It's a big book, and you look at it and think, gosh, you know, where do I begin? So here's what we've done for Advent. We've put together a set of daily Bible readings for busy people. What you get each day is a short piece of text around four key Advent themes: the promise, Jesus as light of the world, obedience, and joy. And this is the simplest way I know to engage every day. All you need to do is to carve out 5 or 10 minutes just to stop. And once you've stopped, I encourage you to read the text. And as you do so, just pause at the end of it and have a think, have a reflect, go, well, what might this text mean to me? What is God perhaps saying to me? What could I take for my own life from this? And then there's a short prayer of response for each day, just to help us to kind of focus that reflection before returning to the rest of our day. Now, that's available on our website now. I'm going to be sharing a link a little bit later on, and I'll show you a sneaky preview of it as well. But my simple prayer for us this whole season, whether you do our daily Bible readings or whether you pick up a book or whether you do any number of different spiritual disciplines we might do through Advent, is that this will be a season of good preparation. That yes, we'll come to Christmas with our gifts bought and our shopping done, and we will be ready to celebrate the gift that is Jesus and his birth. But also that through this season, we are readying ourselves for the day when Jesus returns. And of course, we do that by living even more in the freedom and example he offers us now. Amen. I'm going to pray for us, and then Susie's going to come and lead us in our intercessions. But I think it's just important as we begin this new season, this new church year, that we start by committing ourselves to that work of preparation. So, Lord Jesus, we pray where we are this morning, in our living rooms, our kitchens, our bedrooms, our homes. Lord, would you come by your Spirit? Come, Lord Jesus, we pray. Spirit of God, rest on us this morning. Just take a moment to be conscious and to be aware that Jesus is with you. Alive in you by his Spirit, present wherever you are. Just take a moment or two to experience and feel and acknowledge that presence with you. Lord, in your company, we pray, help us to journey well through Advent. Lord, help us to grow closer to you and to live more like you. Help us to live our lives as an act of preparation for that day when your kingdom's going to come here, when the whole earth will be restored and renewed, and we will live once again in that Eden-like state. We pray, Lord, for that foretaste of that kingdom in our lifetime as we try to live for you. Come, Lord Jesus, we pray.